I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, I really love Guitar Nerds.
Good. Well, you can get an extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds content every week by going to patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $1 a month, you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast. This week on the extra Patreon episode, we took questions. The regular episode this week was so long, so much news, action-packed, that we didn't have time for any questions. So we did a question special on this week's Patreon episode. We answered questions from Chris about using headphones to listen to his pedal board, a question from Phil about small valve amps that have DI outputs into the PA. We had questions from Aaron, who talked about building a small pedal board for bass, and we gave some really good options there. And we had a question from Rika about pedal board tuners, and we had a question from Joe about his TC Electronic Mojo Mojo and his Boss BD2W Blues driver and where to put them in his signal chain. All super informative stuff, all from questions sent in by listeners. Jay, where can people hear that again?
They can hear that at patreon.com/guitar nerds.
They can. patreon.com/guitar nerds. $5 a month gets you access to the extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds content, as well as all the previous week's episodes, plus the interviews that we do with people involved in the guitar industry around the world, and our mini-series like Joe Branton's Rant On and the upcoming Gear of Yesteryear. patreon.com/guitar nerds. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Hello!
Have you been waiting all week to do that?
I have. I thought it was just brilliant.
Jay Cross.
Hi.
For those not in the know, that is a little insider joke from the new series of Twin Peaks.
if a friend of mine just got that tattooed.
Really?
Already.
Did he? Oh, that's amazing.
Hello-O.
This is going like all around his leg or something, all around his arm.
This is not a not a spoiler for Twin Peaks, but that that phrase and hello said in that particular way is. But is very iconic in the first few first few episodes of the new series.
It's so weird.
I'd really like to know if that was improv'd.
It's so good. It's, I mean, this is completely off track already of you know, the regular Guitar Nerds fodder. But I'm really enjoying the new Twin Peaks, and that portion of it in particular was very entertaining.
So good, so good,
so good. It's like looking at the maddest painting you've ever seen for an hour a week. Fantastic. Anyway, you're listening to the Guitar Nerds podcast, the premier, the premier guitar podcast, not affiliated with Premier Guitar.
It's the premier podcast about guitars.
Available on the internet. So no Twin Peaks chat. We're here to talk specifically about guitars. Matt Knight, how are you doing? What's been going on this week? We've got what cool new toys have you got to tell us about, as always?
Well, one thing we were talking before, and then I forgot to mention, I went car booting today.
Okay, so this
garage
is...
sailing in a park for the people in America, for fun for a ton.
So fun for those not initiated, Fun for a Ton is a series we've talked about for a long time, a YouTube series where we get £100 each, commonly known as a ton in the UK, and we've got to make the best guitar that we can for £100. We could either buy something really cheap that's already quite good, but I think the key thing is going to be spend as little on the guitar as possible and then do some modifications. So, Matt, did you get any gold?
No.
Oh, right. Okay.
I bought a couple of records. One by Tubeway Army, which was Gary Newman's first band.
Oh, yeah.
The new Nick Cave record, sealed for a fiver.
Really?
Yeah. How much is that? She's like, a fiver. I was like, cool, sounds good. And then the, what is it, Moog Party Time.
Yeah, so
the sample CD or sample vinyl of all things Moog.
So was that something like, was that 70s, I guess?
I didn't actually look at the date. I'm assuming it must have been, because a lot of stuff did come out at that point. The really famous one is called Switched on Bark, which was all classical, but all done on a Moog modular system from like 1969. And that kind of like spawned this whole era of people doing like classical tunes using this new crazy instrument that wasn't an organ, because everyone was like, using obviously like Hammonds and stuff, and then they were like, no, this is like a totally new instrument. And there was a whole bunch of them in this box, so I just picked out one of them and I was like, that one looks cool, because it was called Moog Party Time. I was like, that's definitely going to be good.
That's two things you like, Moogs and partying.
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
and time.
Up your street. And three time. Things. Love time.
I love time.
It's the best of all of the dimensions.
Yeah, the only thing was there, I did see a Vox amp in the boot of a car, so I got there really early. It's one of the most popular ones in London. And rather than having to get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning, this one doesn't open till 11:30. So there's a massive queue outside by 12 o'clock. So you can pay £3 to get in at 12. And only half the pitches are there. So literally, like, as soon as a new car pulls up, like, everyone has just swarmed around this car. Like, one person pulled up and they had their car filled with was like old record players and like VHS players and like old printers, and there must have been 50 people around this car, like literally diving in the back of this person's car trying to get stuff out.
Wow.
At one point.
It's such a weird thing, like, if you've ever been to a car boot sale early, the fact that particularly ones that open at 8 or whatever, you know, there'll be collectors there at 5 just waiting for cars to turn up. It's so mad.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was walking around obviously with these records I bought from a couple of stalls, and this other guy who was basically on the same loop as me was like, where'd you buy those? And he was like always one ahead of me, or I was one ahead of him. And I walked past this car, literally drove up, and I saw what was obviously a Vox amp in the passenger seat at the front. I was gonna say
not in the driver's seat, that'd
yeah,
be weird.
Not in the driver's seat. That'd be weird. Yeah, a Vox just drove him in. That's so weird. And I hung around the car for ages, and this guy was taking ages, and then he kept trying to set up this closing van and it kept falling down, and I was like, man, I just want to know what that amp is. So I like did a couple laps round, and then as I came back around, this guy who was always like next to me had basically already got there, but thankfully it was only a Pathfinder 10, so I didn't really miss out.
Oh, there you go.
Not a bad
and then
amp.
I saw a guitar. Yeah, they're all right. And then I saw a Guitar Hero controller, and I was like, should I just buy that?
Do you own Guitar Hero?
No.
You could put some.
I didn't get a chance to take a picture. Yeah, just mod it, put some real pickups in it, put one string on it. But no, because I always go to this one, because I do remember one year, 1 week I did go, and a guy did have three or four like odd 60s things, like guitars, in the back of his car. Like, not Echoes. Echo is obviously like the famous one, but like, all these just weird crap Woolworths brands that disappeared, and I was like, I was really hoping he'd be there again, because there's some people that go like every week.
Yeah.
So no, that was unsuccessful, but at least I didn't have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
That's true. We've just bought some new camera equipment that's going to allow us to do these sort of things more easily, and I'm really hyped for Fun for a Ton now. I want to get on with it. It's just finding time when we're all around.
There's some good ones in Brighton, isn't there?
There is. Yeah. I mean, actually, I don't know if there's ever guitars there. I tend not to go to car boot sales that often. But
we should maybe do a little vlog.
A little recce.
Do a little vlog just to test the camera. Be like, right, let's go out and see if we can find anything cool.
The one at the marina is the one that has all the most of the stuff. There's one at the race course as well, but not so good.
I just can't be doing with the like the aggro
of people like flocking to the stalls and like crap.
And it just, the whole thing makes me feel really uncomfortable. Just like, it puts me off certainly ever selling there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If these people don't even give you 5 seconds to unload your car, just a nightmare.
Yeah, I agree.
But you never know. I think the thing is, like, my dad's someone who goes regularly to car boot sales, and you can go to like 50 and never find anything, but that one out of a 50 that you do find something, it's generally like pays all your petrol money for the last 50 trips, because you always tend to find something eventually you just like quintuple your money on. And it was sort of spurred on by a mate of mine a couple of months ago who said, text me and said, I bought this, is it worth anything? And it was a Roland TR-606 drum machine. He's like, I paid 15 quid for it. I was like, what? They're worth like 600 quid.
Yeah.
He was like, oh man, I was just going to buy it to mess around on it, and now I'll sell it. I was like, damn. I should have just said it was worth 50 quid and then given him 50 quid for it.
Too nice.
Yeah, like in the bag, like mint condition. I was like, you know, every so often these things turn up, but unfortunately eBay has ruined most of that.
Well,
because anything techie, obviously people are like, you can pick up, like, if you're into computer games, that's a different matter, because I think just people just go, don't bother checking.
Yeah.
Or old iPods, bizarrely enough. Vintage iPods, worth loads of money now.
Vintage?
Yeah. That's... First generation iPods are worth like over 100 quid now.
That's mad, isn't it? Crazy. Oh,
ridiculous.
Yeah.
Hipster tech.
I know. I want to get stuck into Fun for a Time. We'll do that at some point. But you mentioned that you also had some pedals or a pedal delivered.
Yes. A few months ago, after I met him at NAMM, I met with Josh from JHS Pedals, and we were talking about Guitar Nerds and him coming on to do an interview. And I was like, oh, we'd really love some more stuff to review, because we did the Pulp and Peel and showed him the video if he hadn't already seen it. And I was like, there's a couple of pedals I'm interested in, like, can I get a deal on it? And he just went, oh, I'll just send you this one completely free. So he sent me the Kilt, which is the Stu G signature overdrive, and it's amazing.
Stu G, from your research, you were telling us Stu G is a sort of Christian rock artist.
Yeah, like worship band sort of thing. I mean, I don't know much of the music, unfortunately, but I think he's quite revered within that particular circle.
Right.
Not related to Gus G then.
No. Although that would be funny if they did have lots of brothers and they were all just called something G.
Mr. G,
the G family.
Yeah.
So it's based on the EX Pandora, which was the little round disc-like pedal that came out in the mid-90s that had three controls on it.
Oh, I remember those.
Do you remember those?
Yeah.
They came out sort of right before the start of the kind of the boutique pedal thing.
They were sort of silver, weren't they?
Yeah, they were like a silver disc.
Yeah, I remember
with
them.
Three straight controls on them, and they were tiny. They were, you know, they were like the size of what a Fuzz Face Mini is now, basically. Most famed for Billy Gibbons at one point in his live rig had 10, like in a chain, I think.
Of course. Do you think one of them was just set to one, and he could have actually just turned one of them up to 10?
No. Each one was set. There was one set to one.
Okay.
One set to two. All the way up. He's like, listen, I really like this pedal, but I can't be doing with bending down all the time.
Yeah.
Keeps getting his drip, spilling his, like, every time he bends down to change the knob, he dips his beard in his water.
Yeah.
He can't be doing that.
So to, instead
we'll
of turning
the fan.
Yeah, exactly.
or a fan grabs it.
Yeah.
But it's actually, it's funny you say that, because it is like totally like unbelievably useful. It's not one of those pedals that kind of has that sound and then you just leave it on that. It's like I have yet to dial in like a bad sound in it. It's not based on anything. It's kind of a really unique overdrive.
Well, I thought you said it was based on this EX Pandora.
Well, that itself is not based on, like, it's not a clone of.
Right,
unit, as it were. So it sounds really, really unique. It's not like a Marshall in a box, or, you know, a transparent TS9 or, you know, something like that. And then there's a couple of extra switches that he's added on, so it's got a low cut. So if you're using it at home, that's actually really handy because it just gives you a little bit more bottom end if you're not got your amps turned up really loud. And then a couple of like clipping modes, so you can have it like really light overdrive, you can have it more kind of rocking sort of amp drive, or you can have like super gated fuzz, all from one unit. And then he's added on like an additional boost that can be pre or post like distortion. So actually if you put it on pre-distortion, you can crank it all the way up, still use the volume on the distortion to keep the level like normal, and then just use that as like a second gain. So you can like slam the front end with like another boost.
Okay.
So there's so much gain that you can get out of it. So many different variations. And the boost itself is just a really nice make gooder. You can just, and they're on two separate switches, so it's just really nice to have the boost on all the time and then just switch the distortion on when you need a bit of gain.
That sounds
really good. We'll definitely do it for a pedal of the week.
Okay. It sounds interesting. Again, I kind of remember those pedals being around, but I don't think I've ever plugged one in. So
no, and they don't come up on eBay very often at all.
It was one, again, we've talked about this before, that kind of, and actually this is relevant to something I want to talk about in a minute. Those kind of pedals before the pedal boom, I guess.
Yeah.
That there was like a few things floating around.
Yeah.
And that was definitely one that I remember. That's cool, yeah. Matty. I really want to I want to hear that. That sounds all
yeah,
right by me.
It's awesome. But yeah, the company was Bionix, Bixonic, was the original company that made those.
Jay Cross, you showed me earlier, you have set up a kind of little, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, how
we
you
did.
Turn your little weird cupboard room into a little guitar haven for you. You looks like you managed to do that this week.
It's getting there.
Have you been playing any guitar through it, or have you just plugged it in?
No, I have. I've been so for the first time in ages, like because regular listeners will be aware, I moved house fairly recently, and everything's just been in boxes because I haven't had a chance to unplug it or to take anything out. And I unpacked everything, and like because I knew I was moving house a lot longer before, like a long time before I actually moved house. Everything's been in boxes for months.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't in boxes, then I sold it. So I unpacked everything, and I was like, oh, I've got hardly any pedals left.
Mm.
They're all gone. I've sold them all. I'm starting again.
We've basically gone from your house being where we stored all the Pedal of the Week stuff, and you owning quite a lot of gear yourself, to all the Pedal of the Week stuff is now at Matty's, and you've sold most of the things that you owned.
Yeah, because at one point I had four amps in my house. And I've now only got one.
And it's not like a big amp.
No, it's not. It's just a Boss. It's just a Blackstar ID Core 10.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound as good as I remember it sounding.
Okay.
And I wonder if that's because of the stuff that's come. But like, it can't be. Maybe I'm not making it. Because I remember when I was in the shop, when I was working at GAC, they just sounded head and shoulders above everything else. Maybe it's like with the stuff that's come out since, you know, being away from the shop and only hearing bits and pieces. Maybe I've just got that I've just got that in my head, like, no, that sounds better.
Yeah.
So when I've heard a Katana, or when I've heard the Mustang GT, or, you know, various bits and bobs, maybe it isn't as good as I remember it. I don't know. I need to spend a bit more time with it. But I had some fun with that. And I want to get all my synth set up.
Yeah.
So that I can start doing everything. But it's really getting there. I'm looking forward to, and I think, where are we? I think I pay off my offset telly this month.
So remind us what you've got left in terms of guitars and pedals.
So pedals is very few and far between. I sold most of my guitar pedals last year because I was A, moving house, and B, utterly skint.
Yeah.
And so in terms of what I've got currently, and also I was just using the Pedal of the Week stuff whenever I wanted to play guitar at home. So in terms of what I've got left, it's I've got a TU2.
Yeah, obviously.
A TU3.
Of course.
I've got my RE20, obviously, which I'll never sell. And I've got my the Harmonic Percolator, the Interfax, the original harmonic percolator. I've got a Boss BB1X, a Tech21 Sans Amp.
Of course.
And my Roland SRE555 and Watkins Copycat. So nice. not much left.
So you've basically got two bits of gear that are pretty much unusable in the current setup, the two tape machines.
No, they're completely usable.
Okay, well, one of them doesn't really work.
They both work.
The 555?
That works.
I thought it needs some maintenance.
Well, only because it sounds ropey, but still works. Like, the whole thing, everything works
in
it.
Okay.
But yeah, so that...
And two of them are bass pedals.
Two of them are bass preamp pedals.
Okay.
So I'm sort of at this point now where I need to, I really need to start buying all the stuff back that I sold because I didn't have any money at the end, back end of last year.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
I've been having a little look around. I think the first thing that I want to get, which I never got at the time, and I regret not buying it at the time because I would have got it cheaper, is the Ibanez ES2, the Echo Shifter.
Yep.
Just what a fantastic pedal.
They're discontinued though, aren't they? So you've got to buy them second hand. I don't know if anyone actually sells them.
You can still buy them new.
Yeah,
maybe I should buy one.
They're fantastic.
109 quid as far as I remember.
Oh, they're no money.
They are amazing. I'm doing a video that has one of those in at the moment, and I'd forgotten just how good it sounds. I watched a load of demos and stuff, and they're awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's whether it's you need it if you've got that Space Echo, I don't really know, but
sure. I think it's a very different type of. I don't know if it is a different type of delay, but I tell you what it is it's a
very cool looking pedal.
Well, there is that, but also because it's got those sliders, I think that it differentiates itself enough from what you can do with a, quote unquote standard delay pedal.
Yeah.
In the, you can, I think it will inspire you to do other things.
Yeah.
Which I think is just as important as anything else. Having that different chassis there. So I really want to get one of those. And I might need to buy Strymon Flint.
They're the best. They're the bloody best.
I think that's before the end of the year. I think I need to buy Strymon Flint.
Okay.
And then I don't know. I think I need to get another Fender. I was texting Matty in the week. Just sort of going back and forth as to what do you think?
Do you think
I should just buy the Blues Junior?
Yes.
Do you think I should buy Bassbreaker?
No.
Or wait and spend a little bit extra money and get the Supersonic 22 that I used to have and bloody loved?
Yeah, but they did
a Supersonic 22 head, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but their cabs, the combo sounded so good. Well, those heads at one point when we were at GAC, when I was at GAC at least, there was some mad blowout deal on them. I sold some of them for real cheap, real cheap.
Expensive now. That's the problem. It's
about grand. Yeah. And it's such a shame because they're
because they used to be $799, I think, didn't they?
I think I sold a couple of them for $600 or something that. So I don't know. That is maybe my favourite amp that I've ever played.
Just get yourself a Fender Machete secondhand.
Oh, beautiful.
No, definitely beautiful. Do not do that.
But I think that's what I need to do next. But I tell you what else I did, which I haven't told you, Matty. I did tell you, Mark. I went to a gig this week in the basement of an Italian restaurant in Brighton. It was Al Duomo, Matt, where we went for a couple of Christmas parties. It was the resident GAC Christmas party venue for a couple of years. And I saw some really weird bands in there, and it was fantastic. One of whom had two basses and one guitar. And it was really good. Me and Maddie were stood at the back and she was just like, what is this?
That would be my reaction.
It was mainly feedback.
And, oh, cool. I'm into it.
Honestly, it was fantastic. They were called Bodily Fluids, which I think is a great name.
God.
Was there any real notes? Because if there was, I'm not interested. I'm only interested in pure feedback.
No, there was some riffs and stuff. Mm. And And
Matt's
yeah,
out.
It was great. And then I also saw this band, my mate's band, Negative Space. And
that's a great name.
The singer put his like they took ages to set up. And bear in mind, it wasn't in a real venue. It was in the basement of an Italian restaurant. And the singer had a couple of pedals that he was using, and it was like taking ages to set up. And I was just like, this is going to be a complete disaster. Like, they couldn't get the microphone to work with the pedals. Something wasn't working getting the signal from the mic through the pedals and into the PA. And it took like five people. I was like, look, I'm not getting involved. I'm just going to stand at the back and let it all happen. Turned out the singer just hadn't turned the mic on. It had a switch. But he was putting his vocals through Fuzzrocious pedal. And a chaos pad, which I thought was extremely 2003.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. It sounded great. Like, really, really, like, it was used in a really cool way. It was like garage punk, but with some, like, yeah, real weird vocal effects.
Talking about 2003.
Hit me.
I want to talk about the thing that we did before we started recording.
Oh, baby.
So we've been talking about for a little while doing a Patreon special series called Gear of Yesteryear. And last week, Joe Branton, co-host, who is not here this evening, we should say that he's...
Who?
Exactly. These magazines just turned up. Nothing to do with Joe Branton. Who?
It was Joe's birthday yesterday. We should say
it was
that.
Joe Branton's birthday. He's
and we
birthday
put up
stuff.
A little post on the Guitar Nerds Facebook group, just saying happy birthday. And he got a lot of love.
He did, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't really get it myself.
No. I think he's a knob. So anyway, a Guitar Nerds podcast listener, Alex, brought us loads of old guitar magazines from the early 2000s and I think right up to now, roughly. And we are going to be looking at the kind of end of the year roundups. And which ones are actually here? So the ones so far that we found that have Gear of the Year are... January 2003, 2004, and another 2004. Oh, that was the Gear of the Decade one.
Oh yeah, that was great.
Rock and Roll Mayhem. So we had a kind of preliminary look.
Gear of the Decade was nuts.
Yeah, really good. We're not going to give anything away because we're going to be doing a special Patreon series, Gear of Yesteryear, where we actually talk about them. But God, my mind's been open to some old things.
But also, you say that there was some things in there that actually I think, wow, yeah, that's like you, there were some things in there that you think that stands up now, like that hasn't changed. And the other thing that I thought was really funny reading through some of these Gear of the Years was like there's I think it was 2003, it was our best in the category best electric guitar between £500 and £1,000 was an Epiphone Les Paul Standard.
Wow.
An Epiphone Les Paul Standard costs less now than it did 15 years ago.
What's really interesting in there is the mid-price things are cheaper now than they used to be.
Yeah.
Epiphone Les Paul Standards.
Yamaha Pacifica
was cheaper.
Most of the pedals as well.
The top end stuff is more expensive, definitely. You know, like the Gibson Les Paul Standard is like 1,200 quid or something.
There was a custom shop Les Paul in there for $3,500.
Yeah.
And I mean, $3,500 15 years ago.
The problem with that, and we'll definitely dive into this in more detail, is that what Gibson Custom Shop was in the early 2000s is not what it is now.
Of course,
different guitars, basically. But Matt, I just want to run one by you, and this will serve as a little teaser for the audience. In the Gear of the Decade, I think it's number 3 or 4 on the list, is the Digitech The Weapon Dan Donegan signature. Do you remember?
We should do a whole episode on total failures.
Well, we did. We've got a YouTube video.
Well, yeah, we did. So, but I remember they're like. So there was the Dan Donegan. But the thing is, I sort of want to go back and buy these pedals now and then like
completely,
plug them in again.
Completely. I think there's a series to be done of that,
Matt.
Like Donegan, the best pedals of the like the 2000s.
Because was there an Anthrax one as well?
Yeah, I think
was
there
that
was.
More modern?
I think it was called the Scott Ian 13. I think I seem to remember. But
I can't remember what band Dan Donegan played in. Was it Disturbed?
It was Disturbed, yeah. The pedal itself was like a brushed aluminium finish.
Yeah, and it had some weird graphic on it, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it did. I couldn't even tell you what sounds are in there. I assume they're all just... I think there's like a load of just distorted, like metal-y sounds, and then there's also like acoustic with chorus on it and stuff like that.
Yeah. Digitech, Scott Ian, Black 13.
That was it, yeah.
Anthrax one, and then was it? It was Digitech, wasn't it? The Dan Donegan one.
Yeah. It's called the Weapon.
They did quite. That was like their thing. Because then obviously they had the Clapton one, which we've talked about loads. Because you basically had like just two control knobs, and then a volume, and then a type. So type selected your mode, and then the controls changed depending on what you. But like what mode you're on.
All the types were based around things in their songs, weren't they? So each of those modes was like, here is the chorus sound, like the song part, like, oh, here's the chorus from, I don't know what a Disturbed song is, something metal.
But, oh, well, let's find out. I've just pulled up the manual.
Were they that big?
Disturbed were massive, yeah.
Were they okay, really?
So, not over here. I mean, people over here, I think, were just like, no, absolutely not.
What's the big Disturbed song?
Well, Stupefy, maybe? I don't know. The rhythm guitar sounds in it.
They didn't do Let the Bodies Hit the Floor, did
they? That was Drowning Pool.
Oh, yeah.
That was Drowning Pool. Voices. Was that one of them?
I don't know. I couldn't...
I don't know.
Voices,
but that
yeah, maybe. I'm just putting up the Last FM page. That'll tell us the most listened to. The Sound of Silent... Oh, Down With the Sickness. Yeah, that's the song that I remember.
God. Oh, yeah, that's not on here.
Get up and get down with the sickness.
It's also got the Mistress radio style guitar break section, the Stupefied Bridge featuring a sitar simulator, and then Rise and Intoxication octave pitch shift effect. See, I bet you could probably pick one of these pedals up, and there's probably one sound in it that sounds absolutely amazing.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And one of those total hidden gems. He had an awful PRS as well. The picture, the manual is the pedal and then him holding the PRS, which has like the Disturbed, like tribal graphic.
Oh no.
Awful.
Surely like the writers of Total Guitar are thinking, they've got to be like, okay, will this stand the test of time? Is this article really going to...
I think at the time, this was digital modeling, wasn't it?
Yeah.
This thing, this is like... These guys were like leading the way, as it were, in times like these pedals. Because, I mean, I think the big one for them was like the Hendrix one.
Yeah.
And it had all those Hendrix sounds in on the expression pedal with like you could tap down the heel and the toe, and it gave you one gave you all distortions and one gave you like all modulations or wah sounds.
Yeah, but.
And then they just kind of rinsed it.
In fairness, Matty, there's Jimi Hendrix and then there's Dan Donahan. You know what I mean? Like,
he must have just been massive.
They were massive
in America.
Yeah, they were very. They were a very big band in America.
I was just trying to see what other ones they had. The Crossroads.
I'd forgotten about all of these. Obviously, I remember. You know, we talked about the Clapton. There's the Hendrix. There was a Brian May one. I seem to remember.
There was a Brian May one. Yes, that had. Which is weird because he sort of basically has one sound.
Yeah, but then I guess. But there was also.
Does it model your guitar based on whether you're using a sixpence or a plectrum?
Yeah,
those are the two sounds.
It's funny actually because I actually listened. I was like, oh, I really want to listen to some Queen. I forgot how good the production values on his guitar actually are on those records.
Definitely,
like a sound that just like nothing else on anything. And so much of it's multi-layered as well. Like, I don't know how they ever did it live.
Yeah, it was like tape delays.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And stuff, wasn't it? And harmonising with himself and stuff like that. Yeah.
Apart from the fact, I think he has 9 Voxes on stage.
Super loud.
Uses 3, and then when those 3 blow up, they switch to the back 3. And then when those 3 blow up, they switch to the last 3.
That's your final fallback, basically.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I remember seeing like a rig rundown or something with the tech, and he's like, we blow up a Vox every night. Because I think they just turned up to 10.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And when the last 3 fail, that's when you whip out the Digitech Red Special pedal, plug it straight into the PA, job done.
Yeah. It was funny, actually, because with Vox, I don't know if I mentioned when I was doing this recording the other week, we had a Vox AC30, but a really old one there. And next to the vibrato, it had Live and Let Die. I was like, oh, where'd this Vox came from? And the guy who owns it is David Arnold, who was the composer on the last... Well, he did 4 Bond soundtracks, so from Quantum of Solace back. And before he did the first Bond soundtrack, he did Shaken Not Stirred, which is like a remix of loads of old Bond songs re-recorded. And he did all the Bond soundtracks, including the last 4, on that Vox amp.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah. And he was like, I haven't plugged it in for a while, and I plugged it in, and it was totally broken.
Oh, really?
It just like crackled all the time, yeah.
Wait, so you
basically have to jam the lead in, like... notch it to a point where the actual sound came out, turn the controls in case it so it didn't break, and then like play for it until it blew up again.
So wait, you were working with David Arnold, was he actually there, or was it just
actually did turn up at one point,
really?
Because he knows the guy who was doing the work for us, and
that's
he
insane.
Turned up, and I was like, oh, this guy's done like some of the biggest movies
ever.
We were using a lot of his amps, and I've been into his studio space in there, and his like talk about vintage gear that's like not well looked after. He hasn't been in that studio for like a year.
Right.
And like everything's just caked in dust, but everything is vintage and super expensive.
Wow.
And it's got a Yamaha CS80 synthesizer in there. They're worth about $15,000. Just sitting there like caked in dust.
Must have been tearing at your heartstrings, Matty.
Yeah, a little bit. There was a space echo in the corner. I was like, I wonder if that works. I was like, probably not.
So to get back on the topic, Gear of Yesteryear is coming soon, and it's been really eye-opening already, I think. To look through those 3 years.
I'm extremely excited. Yeah. I think this is going to be a good... I think you're going to need to be here, Matt. I think we're going to...
You're
going
to in the room.
I would like to be involved. Just because also having picked up an old magazine recently, my mum was like, I cleared out some stuff and I found this old guitar magazine, which I think a teacher must have given to. It's like 1996. And just looking at the old adverts.
Yeah.
And how like... how much more radical people were in terms of their advertising, and how stores basically the only way they could advertise anything was put it in this magazine, and you had to phone up and you could actually like buy stuff through the post. I really want to buy this like Gibson Les Paul Standard, here's a check enclosed for £2,500, please send it to this address.
I started working in shops, we'd get people regularly send checks and then just with their delivery address, and then you just post them out at Les Paul. It's insane.
So
insane.
I mean, we still got that up until when I left GAC. I remember there were still people like sending cash. Like, I remember some guy sent a ridiculous amount of money, like recorded delivery. Please, can I have all this equipment? Thanks.
Oh, like, so odd.
Yeah, very, very weird. Anyway, shall we dive headfirst into
news? I wasn't close enough.
No. That's fine. We can live with that.
Needs more growl.
Yeah.
News.
That's just creepy.
Yeah.
News. No, that's even worse.
That's better.
Some big news this week that, Matty, obviously heavily involves you.
The Electro-Harmonix Battalion Bass Preamp.
Big product announcement. Yeah, yeah. Big product announcement from Boss this week. The MS3 multi-effects and switcher. Matt, without overselling it too much, tell us a little bit about this project you've been working on.
Before you start, let's take the starting point, which was when you told us about this product. You said this is the best thing that has ever been released. I think I might be paraphrasing, but that was so. Let's just roll back a hair from that.
Yeah, and we should also point out for those listeners who don't know, Matt works for Boss, so well, let's make that clear, full and frank disclosure up in the front here.
It's a shame Branton's not here because he was also involved in it, because he was in the lovely product video.
He was. I absolutely love the feedback it's been getting on YouTube. People pretty much across the board. People like the sounds. There's a lot of people moaning that it doesn't do their very specific thing.
Yeah.
But mainly people just moaning about how tight Joe's trousers are. Joe's stupid dancing.
By going, like, slagging off the band, and then she went. And then when you say like doing something really niche, someone just commented and went, yeah. Boss, really sorry it doesn't do this one specific thing that this person wants for their one rig.
Yeah. It's like, but yeah, the comments about like Joe's ridiculous dancing, his moustache and the trousers make up about 90% of the comments on the video. It's absolutely incredible. So tell us a bit about the MS3. What's the what was the idea behind it, and what does it actually do?
Yeah, so I mean, I found out about this product in October last year.
Why didn't you tell us, May? Just why didn't you tell us on the day?
I know. So it's been a project that I've had to, and obviously a thing I have to keep completely secret, and it's like teared me up inside, partly because I have genuinely been involved actually in some of the technical side of it as well, like what, like the engineer has been asking me, like, should I have this, should I have that? So I feel like I've got some serious personal investment in this product, and I've had one in the office for a couple months and been playing it, and I'm like, actually, this is, to me, I think one of the coolest products that we've ever made.
So you, the MS3, you realize, Matty, that because of that, this can't win Gear of the Year now.
As
you,
yeah, it's definitely, we can't be taken out.
I think that's probably,
we can't put things that you've helped design into the Gear of the Year poll. I think that's a little unfair.
I think that's fair enough, and we you know, I think we'd probably agree that now anyway because of my involvement in this. But the MS3, the engineer wants to call it like a new pedalboard solution. They don't want to call it a switcher or a multi-effects, but it encompasses both of those things in one box. So it is a three-loop switcher that also has the Boss, an upgraded Boss GT engine in it with 112 effects, amp control switching, MIDI, USB, stereo outs, inbuilt tuner, inbuilt expression pedal, volume pedal, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So the ultimate mix between an Eventide H9 and a fly rig, with being able to plug your own loops in. So yeah, like a Tech 21, but you can patch your own stuff in as well. For the awesome price of £399.
All right, Billy QVC.
I have to say, it does seem fantastic. It seems really, really cool. When I first heard the concept, before I sort of watched the video and sort of delved into a little bit more of what it was, I did think this is silly. But then I thought a little bit more about it, and it kind of, you know, what we've talked about with, for example, like the FlyRig 5 is, you know, especially like the bass one, the big issue that you've got with that is you can't use your own pedals, or you can't plug your pedals in.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what this is offering you. I think this is really, really cool.
Well, a lot of the feedback that people have been going, oh, well, you know, why don't they just do it in an ES8 or something like that? Or is it going to replace the ES8, or is it going to replace the gig rig? And it's like, no, this is like a totally separate thing. So one of the first things when I got the unit a couple months ago is I was like, we should build this into a flight case with three pedals that fits in EU regulation carry-on luggage.
Yeah.
Because for people who are doing fly rigs, that's what you want. So we actually had a flight case built from custom pedal boards that sits the switcher at the bottom. Is the length of the switcher with an upper tier that holds three Boss pedals on it, obviously for the purpose of video, but you can do any three pedals, that's got a patch box and powered all off a little power supply. Right. So you can literally take your three favorite distortion pedals, which is probably what most people are going to do, and then pair it with all of the Boss internal effects, basically create tons of different patches, and then use it as a small fly rig. I don't think it's going to replace like massive pedal boards, although part of the reason we got Joe and Polymath involved in the video and for them to see the product is that these like Math Rock guys or people who do have big pedal boards that basically don't want to lug stuff around anymore, this is a great solution because it's got so much inbuilt that you can actually lose a couple of pedals that you probably don't necessarily need and replace it with stuff inside. And I really like the fact that it's got like a preset mode. So four buttons, it will take you through four presets and you can scroll up and down through a series of banks. But you can go to a stomp box mode and then reprogram the four switches to do whatever you want. So in one patch, you could switch on the three loops via separate buttons. You could switch in a delay if you wanted or a compressor. So you can basically program it to be a mini pedal board at the same time, which I thought was really nice. And you don't need a tuner on your board because there's a tuner inside.
So I've got some questions for you.
Yes.
This is partly...
Not yet. Sorry.
This is like a mini question. Could you do a sort of mini questions?
Mini question.
I was just thinking, could you say the word questions, but in like a very high, squeaky voice?
Questions.
Yeah, perfect. Like the questions have been shrunk down for
questions?
This. Yeah, exactly. So... a question that definitely came from Facebook, and I haven't actually written these down. These are just from memory. So I don't know, firstly, whether you answered them already in the Facebook group, and I can't remember who these questions were from, but does it have the MDP pedals in there?
It does have the Terror Echo in. I don't know whether it specifically has... No, it must do. Yes, it must have the same technology in it because it does have the Terror Echo in it and it does respond the same way to the Terror Echo.
Fine.
But it doesn't have... the it doesn't have some of the other ones like the OD1X or anything like that, but it does have the Terror Echo setting in it.
Does it have the multi overtone or whatever it's called?
It does have the multi overtone, and the thing that surprised me massively about the multi overtone is obviously people always buy like an Electro-Harmonix micropog for the organ sounds.
Yeah.
So the first thing I did was went to the overtone and went, I wonder how, because I haven't plugged one in for ages, and I was like, they actually set a couple of organ sounds in there mixed with a couple of modulation pedals and it sounds amazing.
Okay.
It sounds like a Electro-Harmonix like Mel 9 or something like that. So actually kind of breathes new life into that particular pedal. But it's got pretty much everything that Boss have done in terms of like a decent, you know, digital effects. Basically an entire GT100 shrunk down into a small package with no amp modeling. That's the key.
Yeah.
Taking like all the elements from like an M9, an H9, the three big Stroemann units, you know, the big GT100, all of those sort of things in a much smaller package.
Does it have an MT2 in there?
It does have a Metal Zone in
okay,
there. Yes.
Good to know.
The greatest pedal ever made.
In fact, just to interrupt that briefly, I was watching the chatter unfold on the Pedal Boards of Doom page where Matt did post up. He sort of removed the shadows, came out from the shadows and said, okay, just so you guys know, I work for Boss.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. And like, I reckon the question that was asked more than any within the thread was, is there a Metal Zone?
Yeah, of course.
Is there a Metal Zone?
People love the Metal Zone. So my second question is, can you put your loops anywhere in the signal chain?
Yeah, so the actual three loops themselves are in one solid block, so you can't put stuff in between them.
Okay.
But you can put stuff before or after that block of loops. So you could have all of those loops right at the end and have loads of stuff before it, or you could have a mixture of both, or you can have everything,
So you could potentially have, let's say, a compressor beforehand and then your loops and... then reverbs and delays and stuff afterwards.
Yeah, there's actually a really nice compressor inside. That's why I think it does tend to work best with three drive pedals.
Yeah.
Because the drives in it are digital, and digital drives aren't for everyone, although there are some great sounds that you can get out of it. But most people are going to have like a particular fuzz pedal they like, or a particular distortion pedal they like, or, you know, we were talking about, you know, the X5 Golden Brownie. There's not a sound that kind of matches that in the unit.
Yeah, yeah.
So you probably put that in there. So I think that's the best way to use it, because all the digital effects that most people are used to, and a lot of, you know, delays, for example, like the Earthquaker Space Spiral is, or the Mataverse is, a digital delay. It works on DSP, so these work in the same way. What I did like was the fact there was a bunch of different EQs in there that you can digitally adjust all the sliders on, including like a parametric EQ, like a 10-band EQ, that you can have pre or post distortion, and then you can switch it on or off.
What you've described there, I think, is the only downside I can see to this product. I mean, whether you like the sounds or not is subjective, obviously, but the only practical downside I can see is that you can't split those three loops and three pedals in the signal chain. Because ideally, you know, so let's say you had an analog delay that you particularly liked, but you had a nice drive that you liked. Obviously, you don't want those together in the signal chain. You might want to put...
you can turn them on and off individually, obviously, but you can't put stuff in between them.
Yeah,
And from my time at BUS, I suppose the phrase is, there's always a reason. Like, everything's always done for a particular reason. So I'm sure there's like a technical reason that you can't split those.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it probably has something to just do with the internal signal path.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I suppose that's the only thing. If there's a... You can't insert something between two loops.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can't do.
I think what they're aiming this product at is either people, like you say, who want to use just that on its own as a fly rig, or people who, you know, if they want a multi-effects basically, but they don't like digital drives, it makes sense to have those three together. And then you put your drive stuff in the front end, and then you have all the effects on afterwards. I think that that works.
I mean, the other thing is you know, all the negative comments that I've seen, and I think with what you're suggesting there is for people who want that side, you know, a lot of what I've been reading about it is, well, this is stupid, like, I don't want to use digital effects. It's like, okay,
just get an ESA,
get an ESA, or get an ES5.
And then
people have said, it doesn't have enough loops.
Doesn't have enough loops. Well, it's like, okay, well, get an ESA. Like, if you if it doesn't have enough loops for you, then you have got too many, you've got more pedals than you'd be able to use this with anyway.
Yeah.
So just use an ESA or use an ES5.
I mean,
like, this is like a gateway, I think.
100%.
This is a gateway drug for people. I reckon in like 18 months, and you know, I don't mean to talk, not that I'm trying to sabotage your product release here, Matt, but I reckon in 18 months you're going to see loads of these on the secondhand market. And that's not because people have got bored of them, it's because people have moved on from this to an ES8.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a gig rig switcher or something like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Or they keep it and they have an ESA and then build the big ball with that and use this as the fly rig. Like, I think that's an ideal product for that.
Well, I mean, we got Rabia to do the, like, tech demonstration video, and I was like, he's like, oh, we'll probably just make it like 10 minutes long. And then he like texts me about a week before, and he's like, it's going to be like half an hour. It's like, that's fine, man. Like, if you're really into the product, that's cool. And he was doing some interesting stuff with the board, like switching channels on the Kemper.
Okay.
He was like, actually, this is great for fly rigs, because we usually just take a Kemper and like a two notes load box. And then I just need something that I can't take my massive G2 board with all the pedals on it. And Dave, who's the bass player, was thinking between an ES8, and then I was like, should probably just like hold on a couple of weeks and you'll see this with Rabia. And he was like, yeah, I'm just going to downsize my entire board. So I think there's a few people out there who are probably like, do you know what, I'm not gigging, I don't need like six delay pedals, or I just want to use a couple drives and that's it. And I actually thought about just having one for practice, because there were some great sounds in there. Because of, there's some cool routing options you can do, there's some cool expression pedal stuff you can do, and there's a volume pedal in there, which is nice. You don't need a volume pedal, you can just plug an expression pedal in and away you go.
Couple quick questions, we do need to move on because there is quite a bit more news this week and we're basically not that far off an hour. Couple quick questions, is there a software editor?
There is, comes out in July. And yeah, so it'll make things way easier. One of the boards we had built actually has a USB port on the back, so you can actually get boards now with a little USB connector. Makes it nice and easy. But yes,
cool. Editor. The final question is there, I know you said there's no amp modeling in there. Is there any amp modeling for if I want to plug headphones in? Is there a headphone output?
Because
the GT100, that's the only kind of, I don't want to say downgrade, because it's not, it's doing a different thing, but GT100 obviously you could do direct recording with because it had amp modeling and stuff like that. So I guess this isn't really designed for direct recording.
No, but I was actually, funny enough, I did think of that question. I was like, what's the one thing you could probably put on your board that would then kind of just drive your line signal, give you a cab sim? And yeah, you could use a two-note cab or something like, or there's just like with those little amp in a box pedals that have got headphones out.
Yeah,
you know, because you could take something like the Blue One, you know, that like amp and preamp model, it's just got headphones out, and just have that on the board as well, and it'd actually make a kind of tidy little setup for that.
Straight
into a PA then at that point.
It's neat. It's just a shame that you used Joe Branton for the demo video, because you know,
well, we can't buy that now.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's tarnished it forever.
Yeah,
having Branton in there, you don't want to be associated with that. And Jay Cross, you have been doing a bit of research into another big product release this week: Ovation Guitars Glen Campbell signature models.
Yeah, so Ovation is very weird.
Yes,
they sort of disappeared a little while ago because
they were owned by
FMIC, so they were owned by Fender, and they are now not owned by Fender.
Yes,
and I don't know who owns them.
Someone bought them and I can't remember who it was. Matt, can you remember?
Wasn't it, I'm sure didn't Fender own them?
Yeah, they did for a bit and then they sold them. Are you listening to this?
I totally missed what you were saying. Okay. Sorry, I got distracted.
Okay, about the MS3.
He's just thinking about different MS3 setups. Were you actually thinking about that, Matt?
I was a little bit. I was trying to think of the best thing for a headphone then. And then I totally missed you saying Fender. I can't remember. Was it? No.
I mean, anyway,
like West Side or someone like that. West Side, did it go to a distribution company?
I've got a feeling, a distributor bought them, but I can't remember. Anyway, so
I don't know.
So they did, previously under Fender, they were making Glen Campbell signature guitars, which got discontinued, I think. There was definitely a 12 string.
Right.
I don't know if there was a 6 string. I think maybe it was only a 12, but these are back as 6 strings, right?
That's correct, yeah. So there's 6 strings, there's 4 models, and as far as I can tell, the difference is that there's 2 USA models. One that's in Natural and one that's in Sunburst, and 2 non-USA models.
Okay, do we know where they're being built?
No, there's so little information on these. I can't find a price or anything. They look very weird. The Sunburst on the American one looks absolutely fantastic. Like that real nice faded, like faded subtle burst.
That looks like a Martin or Gibson top.
Whereas on the standard model, I'm not a huge fan. The Ovation are a company that's always really confused me, because obviously the big thing about them, the big differentiator is the plastic back.
Yeah.
And I can't do it.
No, it's the kind of bowl design is not for me at all. I understand why people play them, and people who love them absolutely love them. They can't play
anything
else.
They've been around so long, haven't they? Because at the time, they were like the best thing you could buy.
Completely. And, you know, because they were like an innovation, like a technical innovation.
Ovation.
Okay, they were in they were in Ovation.
And I guess people just caught up, and then building kind of technology just like massively pushed forward.
They were one of the first like stage guitars, you know, that had like a, you know, direct plug-in in the
1965.
That's
me, really.
So I mean, you look at footage before that, and people are just literally on stage with a microphone in front of the acoustic, or they're doing like the John Lennon, the J160, which had basically an electric guitar pickup in it. And yeah, so they obviously, you know, they're kind of very futuristic. Obviously now the design seems a little dated, but people still use them and still love them, you know. And Glen Campbell is a I think it's always been associated with the Ovation stuff.
And they made some awesome, awesome electric guitars.
They did. We should cover that in a Patreon
episode. Deacon. Ah.
We need to do some like research on that, because there are so many weird and wonderful Ovation electrics. We should dive into that at some point.
Yeah, I just saw the, I don't know if you've ever seen one, Mark, but the Magnum 1 K12.
Bass.
Yeah. Yeah, the bass.
That's the
1261.
It's the jar wobble bass. That's who
is it?
Most closely associated. I've in fact that's played awesome. One of those. Someone I used to work with in the early days of GAC had one of them, and I think he sold it through the shop. So it was in the shop for a long time. It had
bass is awesome. Bass, I want one.
Like a giant neck humbucker, a tiny little mini humbucker by the bridge, individual string mutes. the bassiest bass I've ever heard. And it had, I think one of them, I don't know if it's the one or the two, I think one of them's got a graphic EQ in the bass. I'm pretty sure. And you can just turn the bass all the way up on it, go to the neck pickup, roll the passive tone off, and it's just it's a dub machine. It's like the subbiest bass ever.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, we should definitely do some more about Ovation electric guitars, like solid body guitars, definitely worth looking at. So these look cool, these Glen Campbells, and if you're a fan of the Ovation stuff, it's good to see them making high end stuff again.
Completely, because that was one of the things, is that, you know, when they stopped being made by, when Fender stopped owning them, we kept having people come into the shop being like, I want to get an American, and we couldn't get I remember we did manage to get our hands on, I can't remember where it came from, but we had a master built Ovation come in.
Yeah.
That had a, it had like the detail on there. It was like a really intricately designed, headstock cutout. And it was like, it was bonkers money. I think it was like $5,000 or $6,000.
Right.
And it sold immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately, because it's, you know, as you say, there are people out there who are just, oh my God, Ovation, fantastic. So it's really cool to see that company's still, you know, knocking about.
Still doing stuff. We are pushing close to the end of the episode. Let's do one more bit of news. Matt, do you want to tell us about the Disaster Area Designs Smart Clock Gen 3?
Yeah, one of my favourite companies, I think, kind of pushing the limits of MIDI, I suppose, or like switching systems. These guys actually made one of the first switching systems that I kind of delved into. The guy is just really like forward thinking in terms of like pedal board accessories, I suppose, is the way you think it. Like pedals that don't necessarily do something to your tone, but would probably help you like in a live situation or recording. And the smart clock is a tap or a tempo generator that then sends out tempo via MIDI. So you can have that on your board. You can have all your MIDI pedals hooked up. You might have a couple of delays or a reverb. You can tap in the tempo and it will send that tempo to all three. There are a few pedals now that do actually allow to send tempo, but say, for example, if you're running three Strymon pedals, you can't necessarily tap the tempo in one and then the tempo be shared across all three.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that because it won't send that via MIDI, or just...
Yeah, some of them, if they don't necessarily work as... I think they have to work as like a master clock.
Okay.
So if one doesn't actually physically send out a clock signal... like continuously, because you don't like turn it on, I think it just sends it out.
Yeah.
Then it won't, and another unit won't be able to receive it. But the thing I like about this is that you can have like different presets. You can have loads of different tempos, say for loads of different songs, and then just kind of click through it. I think there's, I'm just double checking whether it actually had MIDI in or not. So you could actually like.
Surely that would mean it's not the master clock though at that point.
No, you could still have the ESA just saying go to preset one.
Yeah, that's true.
But then the thing obviously with that is that then the ESA has obviously got a clock in it. But the idea is that this is basically just supposed to be sat on its own and then effectively just control your MIDI devices. But then you also have two like standard jack outputs for controlling other pedals as well, which is quite cool. So two multi-jack connectors can work as tempo outputs, function switch outputs, foot switch inputs, or MIDI outputs. So you can use it to, I think you can use it to control, I don't know whether you can use it to control amp switching or not, but you can use it for like tap tempo on a DD5, for example. So if you tap in the tempo on the smart clock, it will send out the same tempo to a DD7 or, you know, an RE20, for example, but it also set the same tempo to a DD500 or a Strymon timeline.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really useful little accessory, like you say. It's kind of high end and niche, but if you need something to do that, there's not many people doing it. So, yeah, cool little thing. We are right up at the end of the episode. There's so much news this week. I think what we should do is we need to answer some questions. Should we roll that over into Patreon? We'll take a whole bunch of questions over into the Patreon episode.
Sure.
We've got some interesting stuff. So we'll do that over at Patreon. And we'll carry the rest of this news over to next week, because there's some stuff I want to talk about in detail, and we should do that next week. Does that sound good to y'all?
Well, that sounds great.
You got to talk to the guitar industry and tell them to stop releasing products.
Well, I mean, there's not a huge amount out this week. There's just quite a lot of really interesting stuff that deserves a bit of a deep dive, like the MS3, like the Glen Campbell.
Probably answer some guitar-based questions, maybe.
We'll
did talk a lot about gear, but then that's the thing. It's not always necessarily tons of guitars coming out.
We've got a whole bunch of questions. We'll answer those in the Patreon episode. If you want to hear that, patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $1 a month, you can support this podcast. At the $1 a month tier, you get the regular episode ad free and early. $3 a month, $5 a month even gets you an extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds podcast every week, as well as access to all the previous Patreon episodes, the Gear of Yesteryear, which is upcoming, Joe Branton's Ranton, plus all the interviews that we do, Matt does with people building pedals worldwide, interviews that I do with people doing interesting things on the internet. We've got an interview going up probably this week on Patreon, and another interview that's going to go up into the main feed.
Little Brucey bonus.
I'm not sure when that's actually going to come out, because I'm not sure when I'm going to edit it. But yeah, some interesting stuff. I can't remember which Patreon episode is going up this week, Matt. Can you remember what hasn't come out yet?
Have you done the Earthquaker episode yet?
No, I think that's what it is. I think it's Earthquaker Devices is going to be the Patreon one this week. So, yeah, patreon.com/guitar nerds. $10 a month gets you onto our executive producer tier, when it means you get your name read out like this. Are you going to do the reading or are you going to do the backing?
I don't mind. What do you want me to do?
I'll do the backing.
Okay.
Okay. Dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun. Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Andy Joyce, Steve Merkel, Blair Toms, Carlos Mancha, Andrew Marco, Mark Cross, J.D. Short, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Paul Corrigan, Jack Godfrey, Will Clare, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Phil Thompson, Laurie Anstis, Luke Gravett, Colin Anderson.
So dumb. If you want more of that dumbness, you can also follow us on Twitter.
Oh, I'm sorry, Andrew. I said Marco. I often say Marco. Andrew Macro.
Yeah.
Sorry.
For more of that misspelling stuff, you can go to
Colin.
Yes, you can. At Guitar Nerds on Instagram, at Guitar Nerds on Twitter. You can go to YouTube, youtube.com/guitar nerds videos. And go to the Facebook group, more importantly. That's where you can hang out with other Guitar Nerds listeners and ask questions and learn about new cool stuff. facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. Thanks very much, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Colin.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.